Go with me, if you would, back to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. I was doing some reading in 2 Peter 3 this week, and I came across this verse, and I'm going to quote it to you. 2 Peter 3, verse 13 says, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." I got sucked into that verse for a little while. That just captivated me. I just started thinking about glory. That's a good thing to think on, isn't it? Heaven. Life with Christ. Actual life with Christ. This new state of being that we're going to experience. We are experiencing right now a state of being. And there is a new state of being that all of God's people are going to experience. There is a new place where sin cannot dwell. Cannot. Not just will not. Cannot. Only righteousness. That's all. Only righteousness. And I was thinking about the fact that just being with Christ is heaven. Just being with Him, wherever that is and whatever that is. Wherever He takes us. Just being with Christ, that is going to be heaven. But this is what He said according to His promise. According to His unfailing, God cannot lie. And according to His unfailing, absolute, everlasting promise, He said that place is a new heaven. You know, the heavens, the stars, the planets, and a new earth. And in searching for scriptures that describe this new heaven and new earth, I was led to Isaiah 65. And that's where the Lord had me stay for our text tonight. So I want us to look at this chapter together. And if the Lord is willing, I want us to get excited about eternity together. That's what I pray will happen. I pray come the end of this, we will all be very excited about eternity. I've titled this message, New Heavens and a New Earth. Now let's begin with what our Lord has to say here in verse 1. Isaiah 65, verse 1 says, our Lord said, "I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name." Now that verse tells us that God is sovereign. That verse tells us that God is merciful. Merciful to whom He will be merciful. And that verse tells us that God is kind. He's gracious, He's loving, He's kind. Verse 1, He said, "I'm sought of them that asked not for me. I'm found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name." Verse 2, He said, "I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts." That verse tells us that we are wicked, rebellious, and selfish. God is sovereign, merciful, and kind. We are wicked, rebellious, and selfish. Verse 3. He said, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens, that burneth incense upon altars of bricks. He said, they're idol worshipers. They're worshiping everything but me. Verse 4, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels. They're dead. They're evil. They're vile. Verse 5, he said, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. They're self-righteous. They're ignorant and delusional and self-righteous. He went on to say in verse 5, these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills, therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. He said, I'm going to recompense to them everything that they deserve for their actions against me. And where did God do that to His people? He did it. God doesn't lie. He did exactly what He said He was going to do. And where did He do it? Bless the Lord. He did it on the cross of Calvary in the person of His own Son. He did. If we are ever really going to learn and know anything about salvation, really, if we're going to truly get a hold of salvation, we're going to have to learn what happened on the cross of Calvary. Most people do not know what happened on the cross of Calvary. Most people do not know why Christ died on the cross of Calvary. If we're going to know the gospel, really, and if we're going to know salvation, we need to know why Christ died. He knew no sin. Something that sinless can't die. That's why heaven is eternal. The whole reason why. If there's no sin, there's no death. The wages of sin is death. Why did Christ die? And how did Christ die? It was because God, His Father, poured all the vengeance of what we deserved on Him. When He died on the cross, it's because our sin was laid on Him and pressed into Him. He bore sin. And God the Father, looking at all that sin on Him, that was a smoke in the nose of the Father. And He dealt recompense to it. He was angry with it. He poured out His wrath on it. He did all of that for His people in the person of His Son. Therefore, verse 8 says, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. He said, I'm going to have mercy on some, the ones that I've chosen to have mercy on. Why? He said, for my servants' sake. In Isaiah 42, verse 1, God the Father said, concerning Christ His Son, He said, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon Him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And He went on to say, He shall not fail. And because of that, He said, I'll have mercy for my servants' sake. Verse 9, he said, "And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me." He said, "I'm going to do this for my particular people who have sought me." Now, how did we seek him? Why did we seek him? Look again at verse 1. He said, "I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name." He gets the glory and the credit for that. He gets every bit of it. He said, "Seek my face." We said, "Yes, sir." That's how it happened. That's why it happened. Now, for those that he did not draw to Christ, those that he did not draw in Christ, verse 11, if you look back at verse 11, it says, "But you are they that forsake the Lord." You are they that forsake the Lord. You know, a child of God who has had the truth revealed to him will read that and wonder, is he talking about believers or unbelievers right there? He said, "You're one of the ones that forsook the Lord." Is he talking about believers or unbelievers right there? God's people or those who are not God's people? In our nature and in our flesh, we have done the same thing that every other man and woman on this earth has done. The same thing. All of humanity is in the same boat when it comes to forsaking the Lord. And as he went on to say, forgetting his holy mountain. The only difference in those who are God's people and those who are not God's people is mercy in the blood of Christ. That is the only difference. Christ took the punishment for those who were given to him, and those who were not given to him must suffer that punishment alone. But this is his punishment on all sin, all of it, whether it's in Christ or out of Christ. This right here is his punishment on all sin. Verse 11, he said, "But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name." I'm telling you, the only difference in those who are not his servants and those who are his servants is the man, Christ Jesus the Lord. That's the only difference. We have nothing to boast of, nothing to glory in. He alone, Christ alone, is the difference. He made the difference. Verse 16 says, "That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from my eyes." He said, if any of my servants glory, they're going to glory in the Lord. They're going to glory in the Lord. And it's because the former troubles of their sin have been dealt with. They are over. They are forgotten. They are gone. And isn't that so? Don't we read this and think, what a relief. What a relief. The former troubles are dealt with. Did I bring trouble to myself? You better believe I did. And God dealt with me in the person of His Son. And it's over. It's over. I believe everybody ought to fear standing before the judgment throne of God. But God's people have that relief of knowing I stood there in the Lord Jesus Christ and it's over. I stood before the judgment throne of God 2,000 years ago as He hung there on that cross. So with all that being the case, everything concerning our old sinful man being dealt with and destroyed, He said, I'm going to make all things new. Everything. Not only will I make my people to be new creations in the Lord Jesus Christ, but He said in verse 17, He said, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Many places in the Scripture say that the heavens and earth as we know them are going to melt with a fervent heat. And that's what's going to happen to this world. This is all going to be dissolved and burned up. And we ought to really, really get our little slice of the pie here with that in mind. We're either about to leave it to somebody else that fast, or the Lord's going to come back that fast. Either He's coming quickly or it's not that long. It's just not that long. Everything here is going to be dissolved. It's going to be burned up. And, you know, one question is, if God intends to keep His people, and He does, forever, if He is going to burn up this earth, where are they going to go? If He intends to dwell with them, where is that going to be? He said, behold, I'm going to create new heavens and a new earth. Look at chapter 66, verse 22. It says, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me. These are not going to remain before Him. But He said, the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So shall your seed and your name remain. He said, I've made a promise. It's going to stand. There shall be a new heaven and a new earth. Peter said, wherein dwelleth righteousness, which is Christ Himself and everything that His people have been made to be in Him. Righteousness. Now just think about this. On this new earth, there will not be one unrighteous person or one unrighteous thing there. No unrighteousness, no sin, no possible way. I've probably told you this before, but I've had, you know, moments of foolish thoughts where I've had a moment of worry come over me. What if sin infects us again? Not going to happen. It's Christ that died. It's Christ that made that payment. It's Christ that put it away. Turn with me over to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 1. John said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. I love that song we sing, When I Can Read My Title Clear. But every time I sing it, I think, I'm not going to be wiping my own weeping eyes. He's going to wipe our eyes. And he's going to do that. He said, there'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Look at verse 27 in this chapter. The last verse, he said, And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Look at chapter 22, verse 3. He said, And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. What are we going to be doing there? What are we going to be doing there? We're going to serve him. What does that mean? I really don't know. But that's what we're going to be doing. Watch verse 4. And they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. They're going to be thinking, Christ, Christ, Christ. They're going to talk to each other about Christ. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That sounds glorious. Look back at Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 17, he said, For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. What are they joying over? What is their rejoicing? It's salvation and deliverance and life. And we can sum all that up by saying Christ. All of that is in him and all of that's with him. We're going to rejoice. I have not seen, ear heard. It's never entered into the heart of man. I could not describe possibly the rejoicing that's going to come from the deliverance of salvation. That final moment of deliverance. Forever. Forever. Absolute joy. Verse 19, he said, And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. He said, They will rejoice in me and I will rejoice in them. I'll rejoice in what I've made them to be. The great accomplishment that he made us to be. Verse 19 goes on to say, And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her. He keeps repeating that to us over and over. He said, I promise you, you are never going to cry ever again. Never. The voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Why is that? It's because there's no more sin. There's no more weeping and no more crying because there's no more sin. Look back at Isaiah 62, just a couple of chapters back. This is a great chapter. Isaiah 62, it says, For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof is a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and that means my delight is in her. And thy land shall be called Beulah, that means married. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. He said down in verse 11, Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, Say ye to the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. That sounds like something to rejoice in, doesn't it? Just listen to Isaiah 35:10. I love this one verse. It says, And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. I love thinking about the moment that we actually go marching to Zion. The moment we leave this world and march on in through Emmanuel's ground. Beautiful Zion. He said they're going to come to Zion. This is how we're going to go. Isaiah 55, you know, I love quoting that too. It says all the trees are going to clap their hands and the hills are going to sing out. Everything is going to applaud as God's people leave. And we're going to come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon our heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. It's just going to be a beautiful moment. A beautiful moment. That's the condition of the new earth. That's the never-ending condition. You know how something is wonderful and you just don't want this moment to end? It's not going to. It's not going to. Verse 20 says, Isaiah 65, verse 20, it says, There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Everyone in Christ is going to be the same. Blessed. Same. Everyone out of Christ is going to be the same. Cursed. And for the blessed in Christ who have been made new and been made to inherit this new earth with Christ, verse 21 says, They shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. What does that mean? You know my answer. I don't know. I do not know. Other than to say, I will tell you this, and I'll tell you this with absolute confidence. We are going to build houses and inhabit them. We are going to plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. We are going to long enjoy the work of our hands. Now, somebody will say to me, I promise you, not supposed to do that. Somebody will say to me, do you really think we're going to build houses? I don't know. But whatever God says right here, I believe it. I may not understand it. And I don't. I mean, how do you, for eternity, how many houses can you build? I don't know. But whatever that says, I believe it. I honestly do believe it. Verse 22, They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Verse 23 says, They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. No trouble will come from anything that we do. You'll never start in on something and then trouble come from it. And it's because forever we will be the blessed of the Lord. And He said, our offspring with us. And I'm so thankful. God's mercy and grace will go generation to generation to generation to generation. I'm just so glad He does not leave off His mercy. He does not do it. That's who this new earth is going to be populated with. That's who His people are. It's a people out of every tribe, nation, kindred, tongue, and generation. So verse 24, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. He said, I'll be a very present help to them. I'll tell you this, there's going to be a number there no man can number. And at all times, it's just going to be you and Christ. At all times. If there's a number there that no man can number, who love Him and desire Him and want to be Him, how am I ever going to get my question in? I know I have eternity to ask it, but how am I ever going to get my question in? He said, I'll answer you before it ever enters your mind to ask me. I'll answer you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will be completely devoted to you as your husband. I'm here for you. That's what it's going to be like. That's exactly what it's going to be like. He said, I'll supply all their need before they ever even need it. Verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. He said, there will be nothing but peace, 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 nothing but peace. In closing, let go to Isaiah 11. Turn with me to Isaiah 11. If your Bible is like mine, the heading at the top of my page says, the peaceable kingdom of Christ. All right, this is the peaceable kingdom of Christ. Verse 1 says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now he's about to say the same thing that we just read in our text, Isaiah 65, verse 25. All right, the same things. And as we read this, and this is what I think when I read Isaiah 65 and this too, I think, how amazing is it that he's going to make this to happen? Because this goes against everything that is in the nature of, we're about to read about some animals. We just did. We're going to do it again. All right, this goes against everything that's in the nature of these animals. How's he going to make this to happen? Well, in what he has done for us, that work of his goes against everything that is in the nature of our flesh. This is an illustration of what's going to happen to us. If this is what he's going to do to the animals, just imagine what he's going to do to us. You talk about a new nature. You talk about out with the old and in with the new. Just watch this. Verse 6. He said, this is what's going to happen. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, the viper, the snake, the poisonous snake. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den, the adder's den, the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Everything is going to be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Now watch verse 10. Closing with this. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for a sign of the people. To it, to him, to Christ, shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. The rest that he provides is going to be glorious. That's the only way to describe it. You know, there's going to be rest and peace, peace on all sides. He said, nothing is going to hurt you. No thorn will poke you. No bug will bite you. Nothing will ever hurt you ever. Nothing will hurt your feelings. Nothing will hurt your body. Nothing. Absolute peace. He said, the rest that he has secured in this new heaven and earth, the only way to describe it is, it's glorious. Absolutely glorious. Now that's something to look forward to, isn't it? I'm really looking forward to that. In his time, he'll bring us there. All right, let's all stand together.